Do you want more energy, better sleep, and better health? Who wouldn't? Get a free Scalar Light no obligation 15-day trial at scalarlight.com.
Would you know how to get rid of your fear, phobia, stress, or anxiety? How to burst your fear and transform your life? Welcome to Fear Buster Show, presented by Lauren Rosenberg, fear and phobia relief expert and author of How to Move Forward When the Unthinkable Happens. You are listening to UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio with Lauren Rosenberg. www.fear-busters.com.
Hi everyone, you're listening to UK Health Radio. I'm Lauren Rosenberg and Fear Buster, and today I am looking forward to inviting my special guest who is scared of fear of height, Jen. And Jen, hi, thank you very much for coming today.
Hello.
Please tell us a little bit more about you to our listeners.
My name's Jen Parker and my business is Fuzzy Flamingo. So I work in book publishing, providing editing and design services to authors and publishers.
Very nice. And you've written a few books? No, you've written a book, I think?
I've been part of a few books. Yes, I've written chapters in two non-fiction books, and I've also produced a collection of which I wrote a short story for too. It was 22 women writing short fiction stories at the beginning of lockdown.
Oh wow, sounds good and very interesting. And do you want to tell our listeners a little bit more about your fear of heights and how it's affecting you?
Yeah, of course. I have had a fear of heights ever since I can remember. As a small child, I didn't like going up high anywhere. So really, even just on the shoulders of family members, I wasn't keen on even being that high. But when it came to day trips to castles and things like that, I really hated going up in the towers and seeing anything from a big drop. It extends to flying as well. I don't like being in an aeroplane, but it's more the big drop that I'm not keen on.
So do you manage to fly or do you manage to...
Yeah, alcohol helps.
Okay.
I usually have a big glass of wine before I get on a plane. It doesn't matter to me what time of day it is.
Yeah, that's usually I really love helping people with fear of flying, and this is one of my clients are saying, either they take Valium or they use alcohol, but it's so nice to actually to see them afterwards just not taking anything and enjoying the flight. Unless you deal with the fear, this is probably a way to manage, it's interesting. I find, Jen, something really interesting that you said. It's like almost like you're born with it. You said that you don't remember not having it, even being a tiny little one, sinking or being, you know, on your dad or mum's shoulders, which is not something that a child would even think of, like, you know, fear of height. So I'm looking into wondering if one of your parents may have had that fear too, or somebody else in the family.
Yeah, my mum always had a fear of heights. She didn't like flying either. So when it was just the two of us going on holiday, we'd always hit the bar before we went when I was old enough. She was always very good at covering it up. It was only really later in life that I discovered that under the surface, this calm exterior, she was panicking quite a lot. She said it got worse when she had kids. And I feel that too, because whenever they're going towards the edge of somewhere high, it makes me panic. And I totally understand how she felt. I don't think my dad's keen on heights either.
Okay.
Come from both of them, really.
Jen, did you know that fear can be passed on from copy behavior by seeing parents behaving in different ways? Now, even if they try to hide it, energy wise, the child can feel it. Feel that mom or dad doesn't feel very comfortable or always hiding the fact that they're behaving or scared of something. So that can be passed on. Obviously, you can have fear also from something that happened to you, and then you can start not liking climbing and things like this. But if somebody is saying that it's almost like since birth, then it's usually something that's been picked along from somebody else and usually copy behavior. I don't know what your mum was doing while she was expecting you, but it could be that she may have gone on to something, climbing on something, and or didn't like it, or had a reaction, and the energy can be passed on to the baby even not being born. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually be born with already that fear underlining subconsciously.
So that can
be the origin of your actual fear. I did have a client who came to see me for a child who was scared of lift, and it turned out that mum had an experience while she was expecting and got stuck in a lift, and then that child became scared of lift. So it's probably likely that you picked up on mum behavior trying to hide it, but still obviously you as a child picked it up. So what does that feel like? Could you tell our listeners and share to our listeners, what does that feel like to have a fear of height? What is it that you can't do or stops? What does that stop you doing?
For me, it's actually the way it comes out physically is what stops me doing things. So I get the heart racing, I get hot and sweaty, which is just uncomfortable. But quite often my knees will shake, my legs will shake and go wobbly. And I've even had it when I've been very high up, when I've not been able to hold myself up because my legs have been so wobbly.
What type of things would you experience the height? Is it like going on a stool just to get something in the cupboard, or are we talking about going and visiting a monument or something? Where does that, or is it just going up the stairs? I mean, where does that, because everybody has, people say they fear of height, but sometimes it's only when they're flying. But in your case, I think it's sort of spread into different areas.
Yeah, definitely. So I can go on a stool to reach the high cupboards, but standing on a step ladder to paint the ceilings, I really struggled with. It just felt like the step ladder was wobbling because I was shaking so much. And that's not very high at all, so I probably wouldn't even hurt myself if I fell off. So that's why I don't understand why I'm that scared. Certainly going to monuments and things, I feel like I'm missing out when we go on our travels. And my husband likes to go up towers to go and get the best views of the city.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just can't do it. So when we went to Venice, he went up and got the photos, and I was sitting in the square at the bottom waiting for him to come down and show me the photos. I just felt like I was missing out.
So talking about maybe if someone wanted to take you to the Sky Garden in London, have you been? It would be a big no. Was that?
It's the Millennium Wheel as well. That's another thing that I really like to go on. And it would be a waste of money just because I wouldn't enjoy it.
So would you be able to do it or not?
I think I would. I'm very strong-willed. So I think I would be able to push myself to do it. I just wouldn't enjoy it. So it would be a waste.
And do you want to tell listeners what you're actually going to do this Saturday?
Yes. I feel like I'm a bit mad for doing it. But I'm actually doing an abseil on Saturday down an 80-foot bridge. So quite a lot of it will be free, so I'll be able to see right through. The reason I'm doing it is because I wanted to raise money for Loros, which is a local hospice where they cared for my mum at the end of her life last year, and they were absolutely amazing looking after her but also looking after me and my brother after she died. They offered us grief counselling, and there was lots of other things that they did to support us. So I wanted to raise money to give something back, to say thank you, and to make people aware of what an amazing charity they are. And I thought it needed to be something challenging to get people to sponsor. So that's why I thought, my mum loved bridges as well, so it seemed fitting that I should do something to do with bridges. And so,
okay. So how does that feel to think that you're going to do this on Saturday?
I'm feeling better about it now than I did at the beginning of the week. I had a bit of a meltdown at the beginning of the week, and I think that's actually helped because I'm terrible for keeping emotions inside and for putting on a brave face and pretending everything's okay. So I'd started the fundraising and everything was going quite well with that. But it's coming up, my mum's birthday would have been on Friday, the day before the ab sale.
Oh wow, so the timing is like...
So that's why I chose, it would have been...
And it's only been a year.
Yeah, she died in March last year, so it's about 18 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it still feels quite raw, but I think I've been just pushing it down and putting a brave face on, and then all of a sudden on Tuesday, it just got overwhelming, and I had a chat with a friend and I just cried. And I told her how I felt about it and how I didn't want to do it on Saturday and all these other things that were worrying me. Just talking it through has actually made me feel better in the days since. Good. So I need to stop just keeping everything bottled up, because then it's just going to explode. So I feel better than I did.
Good.
But I still get quite hot and sweaty when I think about it.
So just talking about loss, I'm really sorry to hear that you lost your mum a bit more than a year ago. Time doesn't really mean anything. I mean, I know from a fact, because 4 years I lost my eldest daughter, so I can tell that time has no meaning. Some days you'll feel good and some day you'll feel not great, and it just sometimes it'll feel like yesterday and some days it'll feel like a few months. But so time doesn't really it's really important to listen, isn't it, know that if they are dealing with grief, that there's no pressure. It's not because time comes along and it's a year or 2 years or 3 years that people think that you need to get over it, because you'll never get over it. Mm-hmm. It's a big change. And that change needs to be adjusted and accepted, but it's not something that you go over it. It's just,
yeah.
And I just wanted to say that, because people think that because of the time they put pressure and they say, oh, well, by now it's just a year and it should, you know, be that. That is not the way grief works, and that is not the way it is when there's a big change. It doesn't work like that. But you're doing something amazing. How much money have you raised so far?
So we've raised just over half our target. Our target is £3,000. So we're over 1,500 so far. So I'm hoping to get there by Saturday. That would be amazing.
Excellent. If people want to donate, what do they need to do and where do they need to get?
It's a Just Giving page. I'll just get up the link. It's justgiving.com/fundraising/fuzzyflamingoabsale.
Okay, excellent. I very much connect to your story, because we also fundraising and we created an ambulance in memory of my late daughter's name. But so this is why I also wanted to talk to you about the fear of height, because I want to do everything we can in order for you to enjoy the experience, but also to be able to do it and really embrace it.
Yeah.
So imagine... Jen, imagine that right now it's already Saturday and you are about to do it. What does that feel like in your body? What's going on, and what's the first thing, and what's the first symptoms, or what would you feel in your body?
I can feel my heart racing.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel my palms are sweating. And I'm shaking.
So if you had to put a colour to that feeling, what that feeling looks like? What colour does it look like, that feeling?
Did you say what colour would that look like?
What colour does it look like, that feeling?
I would say blue.
Blue. Light blue, dark blue?
I'd say dark blue.
Dark blue, okay. And if you had to pick a colour that would actually get rid of that shaking and that heart beating fast, what colour would it be?
Orange.
Orange. Okay. So would you be happy for me to just help you releasing this feeling that is making your body shaking and tense?
Yeah, definitely.
So do you mind closing your eyes and take a deep breath and imagine that above your head there was this nice orange river, and that orange river will go into your mind, down into your throat, flooding in, going in into your heart, lifting that dark blue, making it light and soft, allowing the orange to go in, giving yourself permission to allow the orange to go in, down your spine, going into your shoulder, into your arms. Allow that orange to go in, lifting and making it lighter and lighter and lighter. Energy only flows when it's light and soft. When we get scared, it gets blocked and it makes our body trying to release it. And this is where we have those reaction of heart beating fast. So what we want to do, we want to make that energy in your body flowing nicely so that you don't have that reaction. So see that nice orange going in, lifting, making it lighter and lighter and lighter. As you do that, pay attention to your body. Notice what your body feels like. And if you need to stretch, if you need to stand up, whatever you need to do, notice what your body is telling you to do. We're just working with energy. And then whenever you're ready, Jen, you can just open your eyes and just tell me what's that feeling like, that shaky feeling, if it's different, if it's smaller, if it's shifted somewhere else, that feeling in your heart, if it's a little bit different. How are you feeling now?
I feel weirdly calmer and I feel warm.
Good. Excellent. So Jen, imagine again, it's Saturday and you're about to do it. Tune back in, that feeling. How different does that feel and what's left?
I feel good. I feel like I can do it.
Good. Excellent. So imagine, so you're going to, how high is it? I mean,
80 feet.
80 feet. Okay. So you're climbing, you're up there, 80 feet. What does that feel like?
I feel like it's rewarding.
Okay.
I feel like it's calm.
Okay. Check your body and notice if there's any part of your body that you still feel that shaky feeling that you experienced before, or the heart beating fast, or your hand sweating. Tell our listeners, what does that feel like now?
My palms still feel slightly clammy, but they're nowhere near as sweaty as they were when we first started talking about it.
Okay.
I feel a lot more relaxed.
Good. So, Jen, your palm, the way you're clammy, what colour does it look like? If you had to put a colour to it, what colour does it look like, this feeling in your hand just right now?
Yellow.
Yellow. Okay. Yellow that we need to help you to release this clammy feeling, or it looks like yellow?
It looks like yellow.
Okay. So do we still need the orange or another colour to actually get rid of whatever you're feeling still in your hand?
I like the orange.
Orange. Okay, fine. So take a deep breath again. Close your eyes and see that nice orange flowing, going in really fast, like a nice fast river, going in, flooding in, right into your palm, into every single finger, and see the orange coming out through your finger, lifting and taking all that yellow out, making it lighter and lighter and lighter. So light and so soft, it'll just flow and it'll just go wherever it needs to go. If you need to shake your hands or you need to stretch, just do whatever your body is telling you to do. And take your time, and then whenever you're ready, just tell our listeners what I feel like.
It just feels so much better. It's weird because I do feel like the warmth is spreading.
So we have energy inside our body. We don't see it, but we can feel it. So when we get scared of something, it's a memory of the subconscious mind that comes up and tell our subconscious mind that this is dangerous. The subconscious mind only lives in the present time. So it doesn't matter what age you are now. If you've seen something or if you experienced something when you were young, then your subconscious mind will bring up that image right in front of you when you trigger something. So exactly for you, every time you go on something higher than a few steps, then the subconscious mind will tell you this is dangerous. And it will make your body, it will send a message to your body to keep out of the way. So it has, the subconscious mind has no logic. So, So if you have somebody coming along saying, oh, Jen, it's fine, it's nothing, it's just a few steps, it won't work. You cannot take somebody's fear away by using logic because the other person doesn't have that fear. This is the way you've been programmed. So what I was doing just now is unblocking the energy that's been blocked in your body due to the actual fear that you have, And due to the subconscious mind sending that wrong program or message, if you want, in that. So it's like our mind is like a computer. We have different software. One of software has been programmed saying height are dangerous, therefore I need to keep away from it. Probably because maybe you've seen mum's reaction, or maybe when she was expecting you, she may have had experienced something, an incident, maybe she even fell, I don't know, you know, and that something has created this fear. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is just right now is we're unblocking all the energy that have been blocked in the body. Emotions get trapped in the body, and when they get trapped in the body, they create blockage. So I'm just using, because we're just doing a live session a little bit, because you gave me permission to do that, but I'm saying just a very quick way of helping you. Mm-hmm. So I'm just literally sending the color and sending you some healing so that you don't, we're allowing the energy inside the body to flow nicely. A little bit like an electric circuit where the wires are tangled and not wired properly. So what I'm doing now, I'm just tidying it up a little bit, and I'm just sending the right circuit electricity going in, flowing nicely so that you feel better. So this is why it's perfectly normal sometimes to feel a bit warm, because mm-hmm. we're realigning the energy inside and it's starting flowing nicely.
I see.
That's what's been happening, really. Sometimes you can also feel a little bit of tingling in your hands or in your body. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people feel that they need to stretch or stand up. Everybody's a bit different. But it's just a way of getting you prepared for Saturday, because we don't have much time, and I just wanted to help you a little bit. What's that feel like now? Imagine that it's Saturday. What time are you going to do it? I mean, what time?
11 in the morning.
So imagine this, we are Saturday, 11 o'clock, and you're about to go on your journey, achieving this, doing it, seeing yourself doing it. What does that feel like? And what does that feel like in your body and your mind? What's coming up?
I feel strong. I feel like I can do it. And I feel like I can show my girls, because they'll be watching, I feel like I can show them that they can do anything as well.
Good. Excellent. I did help once someone who actually came to see me thinking that she had fear of height, but actually she had fear of falling. And she also was raising money, and she was going to climb the mountain in Peru. And she was so panicked just a few days before going and flying off. So I helped her. We did a few sessions, and she did. And she went and climbed, and everything was, and she raised money, and she really, and it's an amazing feeling when you do it. But I prefer to clear the fear or help and then do it, then face your fear. But mm-hmm. I know that you've been, until now, you've sort of always done like face your fear. Is that what you've been doing, or?
Yeah. So I've just thought, just get over it and just do it. And it has sometimes worked for a short period of time. So when we went traveling, we went on quite a few cable cars in different countries, of varying heights. Also, the cable car size seemed to make a difference of how scared I was. The bigger the cable car, the safer I felt, which is weird.
You mean by space? Because it was more space?
Yeah, so in the small cable cars where the glass was all around, quite close in, that felt worse. But I managed to go on them, and I managed to do it. And after a few minutes, I managed to calm myself down and actually enjoy the views. And it did temporarily work, but then I would still get really anxious before having to do anything else.
You know, sometimes you don't suffer from being claustrophobic, or when you're on a plane.
No, that actually makes me feel safer. So on a plane, I like to be in the middle of the three seats and feel enclosed.
Ah, okay. So because sometimes, you know, if people like having, like, when they're scared of flying, sometimes they just don't like when the door shuts and they're in the enclosed. So you like that enclosed. So is that a part of the worry behind going high, not having people close to you, or not? What's the actual idea of height for you?
On the plane, I'm just worried it's going to crash, and we're crashing from a very big height, so the chances aren't great. So that's how I'm feeling, and that's what is constantly running through my mind, mm-hmm. is the what if this happened. With the being up high outside of a plane, just up a tower or something like that, I don't really know why I'm scared. I don't feel like I'm gonna fall off. I am just scared.
Would you be happy to try something and sometime just to get an idea, maybe see if we can actually trace it back, maybe?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, Jen, would you mind just closing your eyes and taking your are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Take your right hand and literally tap top of your head. And I'm just going to ask questions, but keep your eyes closed. And if an image comes up, let me know. This feeling of fear of height, going high up a building, going on a ladder, trying to want to paint a ceiling. Where do you feel that feeling in your body? And just keep your eyes closed and just keep tapping top of your head.
I feel it in my legs.
Okay, this feeling in your legs, what color does it look like?
Green.
This green feeling in your legs. Now I'm going to ask questions, but you don't answer them. Just allow an image to come up in your mind if it does come up. This green feeling in your legs, what does that feel like? When was the first time you ever felt that green feeling in your legs? What's it familiar to you? What's that remind you of? When did you ever felt that first time, that green feeling in your legs? That green feeling in your legs, is that called shape? Or if you did have a shape, what shape does that look like? What shape should we do? What shape do you think?
Rectangle.
So this green rectangle feeling in your legs, what's that remind you of? When was the first time you ever felt that green rectangle feeling? And if an image comes up, even if it doesn't make sense, let me know. That green rectangle feeling, what's that remind you of? Was it familiar to? When did you ever felt that green rectangle feeling in your legs? Jen, any image coming up?
In a plane.
Okay. Is that the first time you ever felt that green feeling, or did you ever felt it somewhere else? That green rectangle feeling, where else would you ever felt it? Any
anything coming
up?
That's the first time. I'm very small.
So Jen, just keep, you can stop tapping, you can open your eyes, just relax. The image that came up, how old were you on that? Is that
either 3 or 4.
Oh.
It's a very small plane. I think we were going to Jersey. So I think it was a plane with propellers. Like, mm-hmm. really small.
Okay. So, and what happened? Everything was okay, or?
Yeah, everything was okay. I remember reading the same book over and over again. My mum was reading it to me. I was sitting next to her. But I know my dad and my brother weren't sitting with us. They were sitting somewhere else.
Okay.
I just remember feeling really nervous.
Okay. So I'm not going to do the session now, but what I just did just now was bringing up the memory connected to your fear. So I would ideally go into the memory and finding out why you were nervous, what was going on at that time. So because the subconscious mind lives in the present time, I can go into your memory and we can actually find out what was going on and why you actually learned that fear of height. What was going on? Why were you already nervous? Mm. So it could be that at that specific point, you decided, your subconscious mind decided that it's dangerous and that's what's going on. If you don't recall any specific event that happened, or if the flight was, then we would probably go in it more, but we're not going to do that now. But it was just for you to understand that there is a memory somewhere. And usually, if a memory comes up before the age of 6, that is usually the memory that actually is connected to really what we want to go in. And we can just go in and collapse it. And then you can just literally just not have that fear completely.
Yeah.
You don't need to live with that fear anymore. It doesn't, you don't need to, it's just good to know, and good to listeners to know that if they are suffering from a fear, there's so many different techniques that are used that are very effective in order to clear those fears. But regarding Saturday, imagine you're there, you're climbing, you're getting higher. Who are you going to do it with?
I've got a team. So the Fuzzy Flamingo team is built up from family and networking friends.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And so you're all going to do it together?
Yeah.
So it's better in a sense. You get supported, so imagine you're there, you're doing it, you're climbing higher and higher and higher, and you're right there at the top. Okay, what does that feel like in your body?
I feel relaxed.
Good.
Yeah, I feel strong. I feel like if I could just keep breathing, I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that strange for you to hear yourself saying that just when we started talking just at the beginning, you were talking about your heart beating fast and your hands sweating and your body getting all shaking?
Yeah.
Does that feel a bit strange for you to think that?
Really strange, because up until this point, I've not even been able to talk about it without feeling my heart go, and my heart feels totally normal.
Good. So can I do a little bit more?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So can you close your eyes again, take a deep breath, and I would like you to see this nice orange colour, this nice little orange river going in into your head, down your throat, going into your neck, all the way along your spine, giving you all that strength, all that confidence, all that safety, knowing that the orange color is always there with you. And see that color also going into your heart, down into your stomach, into your legs, and all around you, like a bubble, a big orange bubble surrounding you, giving you all that safety, that confidence, that reassurance, and also knowing that your feet are very steady, that your feet are steady on the ground, even if you go higher and higher and higher. And then see the nice color and just notice what that feel like, and then you can take a deep breath and open your eyes. How are you feeling?
Feel really good.
Yeah.
I don't really understand why I'm feeling so calm.
Allow me to work on you. That's already good. There's a lot of different things that I'm doing. I'm just unblocking the energy inside the body. I'm allowing you to start relaxing. I'm entering your energy system to start unblocking what's blocked. I'm putting more insurance, more safety. There's a whole range of different things that we're doing just at the moment, but very gently, because obviously we're doing it on air. Lots of people are listening, and I also want you to feel safe and comfortable. So I'm not going into deep work at all. I just want to sort of help you and support you so that you can actually go ahead and do it on Saturday. But not just do it, because I know that you've done so well over the past, and you always try to push yourself, and you're strong, and you always face your fear. I really would like for you to really enjoy it, because you're doing it on behalf in memory of your mum. You're raising money, you're really for a special cause, and really you deserve to enjoy it too. Not you don't need to suffer, and if you don't need to suffer, why suffering it? That's my view. So how are you feeling?
I feel ready. I feel like I wish that I was doing it today, because I feel like I could just go ahead and do it right now.
Excellent. You may feel a little bit tired today after the session, although we did just a few minutes, but you may find that you start feeling tired. You may find that you start yearning quite a lot. That's just allowing the energy that is blocked to come out. Those are the type of things that can happen. Just drink plenty of water, and just notice those little things. You may find a little bit of pins and needles in your hand. Just that's just the energy starting flowing and just coming out. That is just normal. Just to let you know, it may not happen, but it's just some of the symptoms that can happen.
Yeah.
So, but I can see that your eyes are so much brighter, your skin is so much brighter. You've got a big, there's a big smile on your face. Your body is so much more relaxed that than when we started. There's no shaking. What's that feel like?
No, I feel really, I feel steady. Weirdly, I already feel tired. I feel really relaxed. I could have a nap right now.
Excellent. When you said, you know, your feet is very important, that it doesn't matter how high you are, keep thinking that your feet are very steady and very grounded. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you tell your mind that you are grounded and your feet are steady on your on the floor, whatever floor, you are on, be aware of each steps that you go on. Notice that your feet are touching the floor and on the ground and that they are steady. That makes a big difference, because part of being scared of height is being up in the air. And people have that tendency in thinking that when, even though they're on a ladder, that they're actually not on the ground. But if you are more aware of the actual feet supporting you and touching that ground, then that is putting you back into the present time.
Yeah.
So if anything comes up, or if anybody has a panic attack or feeling panicky, the minute you touch something that is real, it puts you back into reality instead of going into that what if. Because a what if questions, you can never really answer. In fact, if any clients of mine ask me, but what if this, or what if it happens, and what, I'd like, I can't answer a what if question. Mm-hmm. All I can say is that whatever will happen, you will deal with it when it happens. And if you have the tools to how to deal with it, then you can just let go of the what if question. Because if you answer what if question, then there's going to be another question coming up, and another one, and another one. And you'll never be able to calm the person's mind down by answering a what if questions, because there's going to be another question coming up.
Yeah, so the best it feels like my mind starts to race. Because the questions are always what makes me more anxious, and they just keep coming.
Yeah. So the best advice I could give to listeners would be, any what if question, if any of your children or anyone in your environment or your family is asking a question with what if this, just say, I'm sorry, I can't answer that because I don't know. All I know is if it happened, we'll deal with it. And that's it. That is, and then that's the end of conversation, because there's nothing else you can say. But if you do answer a what if question, then you will start putting the anxiety and the worry, and you'll keep going and keep going, and you'll be in that energy of the worry energy. You won't be into the twist. Okay, I'll twist it. I have the tools to deal with it, and I'll deal with it. And it may never happen anyway. Yeah. So that is how I would advise someone to answer a what if question. What did you, I know I noticed when we talked in the past about that you had always this idea of facing the fear. Mm-hmm. What type of things did you do that helped you until now?
Some worked and some things didn't. But the things that worked only worked for a short amount of time anyway. So I already said about the cable cars when we were traveling. There was another place in Hong Kong called the Sky Tower, where you had to go up escalators, but lots and lots of them. But the problem was, you could see straight down to the ground floor from whatever height you got up to. So you could see, they had a glass wall down one side, and then they had a big opening down to the ground floor on the other side. So there was no way to hide from it. And I got about two thirds of the way up, and then I couldn't move. I couldn't make my legs work. So I ended up having to go back down, and my friends carried on up to the top, and I just went down and had to calm myself down when I got back to the ground floor. I just felt really silly because I'd not been able to do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other things I'd been able to do, and they were escalators. So it wasn't like I was having to walk up the steps myself. I just had to let it carry me, but I just couldn't. I couldn't put my foot on that next escalator to get even higher.
Yeah, it's not, if you don't understand fear and if you don't know the underlining that is going on and the actual wrong broadcast that the subconscious mind is sending, then you do feel angry and silly, and you're sort of like angry with yourself because that's the conscious mind. But if you start understanding that actually there's nothing wrong with you and it's not your fault, it's just a program that has been programmed to actually keep you safe, but subconsciously it's not helping you. It's the same thing when somebody is scared of dogs and they're suddenly scared in the street and they just put themselves in danger. It doesn't, that program does not help, but that is what is, that's the way the person is programmed. So yes, so you did try, which some people wouldn't even try, so you're actually very brave. I'm very much the way I work, I don't advise my clients to face the fear. In fact, if they come to see me for fear of dogs, although I've got dogs, I would never bring my dog in the session until I clear the fear. It's only after clearing the fear that I will bring the dog, just to prove them and show them that actually you no longer have the fear, and then you can enjoy touching, going for a walk, enjoying it, stroking the dog, really just reinforcing that you no longer have it. I can't bring the plane to my client, but when they clear their fear and then they go and fly, and then in the minute they land, they usually text me saying, yes, no alcohol, no Valium, and I enjoyed it, and it was fine, and I didn't squeeze my husband's hand or a partner's hand, and I didn't scream on the plane. So, that's the way I much prefer to work with. I mean, some people say just face your fear. It's work for some people, but it doesn't work for other people. And if you have a subconscious program saying that there is a danger, then it's at some point it's not going to work. And you don't need to suffer. You don't need to actually go for all those feelings and not enjoying it. So looking back now, thinking of you were very brave to even think of doing this on Saturday, knowing that you have that fear. So, but I know you're doing it for a really good reason. So there is also power and passion, and there's also very strong will for you to want to do it. And I'm pretty sure. I know your mum will be with you anyway on that day, and I hope the sun will shine at the same time that you have beautiful weather. So are you ready to do this Saturday?
I am, yeah, I'm gonna do it. And funnily enough, the organizer emailed me because I asked how long it would take, and he said it can take between 2 and 4 hours, and the reason for the big range is because it depends on A, how scared everyone is, and B, how many times people want to do it. And I just burst out laughing when I read that, because I said, sorry, more than one? No, no thanks. But now I'm thinking, if I can actually enjoy it, then maybe I will do it a second time. Who knows?
That's quite funny, actually, just seeing that. Yeah, isn't, Jen, are you thinking, hearing yourself saying this now, does that feel strange? Does that feel weird? I mean, you know, a few minutes ago, do you think you were going to say this to me?
No, not at all. I mean, even yesterday I told someone about that email and just laughed at how ridiculous it was. But now, I don't know, I can see possibilities.
Good. I'm really glad that we're doing it today so that you can really go for it and enjoy it and enjoy the experience for it. I also would like you to tell our listeners more about what you do. And yeah, so do you want
to? Yeah, I absolutely love what I do. I get to work with books, which I love in my personal life anyway. I read to relax, so I can't get to sleep if I haven't, even if it's just for a couple of minutes, I need to read a book to wind down, to clear my head and get to sleep. And so the fact that I get to work on something that could help other people feel like that, it makes me really happy. So I design book covers, I design the interior text, I also do the editing, and I can create printed books and ebooks. I do that with traditional publishers on a freelance basis, which is really rewarding, but I don't get to see the end results. So I don't get to see their books, I don't get to see how well the sales do. I don't get to see any of that because I just send the files and then that's the end of my role. So the other half of my job, I work directly with authors who are self-publishing their books. So they use my services to give them a professional product. I get to see the difference that it makes in their lives, and I get to see how the book does as well, which is just even more rewarding. It's brilliant. And when I get to see the authors celebrating their milestones and their accomplishments, it just makes me really, really happy.
Amazing, amazing. I don't know if you know, but my first book came out just 2 days before the lockdown.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
It's called How to Move Forward When the Unthinkable Happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find some of the techniques that we started using just today in my book. But it's just strange to have first, you know, to have my first book out there. And yes, the design of the cover is, I thought that will be taking longer than the actual editing, but actually the editing was long. If you have really the right person for doing the design, and that's really important, and it's a really important role for the book, then it's well worth really having, and it's amazing what you can do because that is what people see first.
So. Absolutely. It's really important to get it right. People do actually judge a book by its cover. It's one of those things. So you have to make sure that it's right for the genre. So people who like to read your type of book know that it's their type of book, that they should read it. But you need it to be eye-catching and stand out from the crowd at the same time. So it's like this bit of a juggling act with making it look different whilst also looking like something they would want. Yeah.
Oh, well, when you've got time, just have a look at my book cover and you can tell me what you think.
Oh, definitely.
Where do people find you? Where can people find you?
So I'm on Facebook and Instagram as @FuzzyFlamingoDesign. Or you can have a look at my website, which is www.fuzzyflamingo.co.uk.
Excellent. And Jen, do you have any motto or something that you could say to listeners if they are suffering from fear of height or anything that keeps you going? Do you have any sentence sometimes that is on your mind?
Something that I've always tried to live by doesn't really seem that relevant having now talked to you. It's okay. Kind of changing my opinion. So I've always gone, especially with my having my own business and pushing myself, I've always thought, feel the fear and do it anyway, because there are so many scary things mm-hmm. out there, especially when you've got your own business. There are so many times I've had to push myself out of my comfort zone. I'm what you might call an extroverted introvert, so I can put on this big show and look like I'm really confident and chatty and happy, but inside I panic quite a lot about lots of things. So that means a lot to me. But when it comes to the fear of heights, maybe that hasn't been working for me. Maybe I just need to look more at the roots and get there.
Well, I'm more than happy to help you more if you wish to completely clear it. Jen, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you very much for allowing me to work on you and for sharing with our listeners your fear of height. I'm sure that they can relate to it, and we wish you lots of luck for Saturday, and we'll probably meet again to see how you go on, and I hope that you raise more money and for that amazing cause. And So really just go for it, enjoy, and we wish you lots of luck. Are you listening to UK Health Radio? It is Lauren Rosenberg talking about fear. You can get in touch with me at www.fear-busters.com, or you can email me at lauren@fear-busters.com. Thank you so much for listening, and looking forward to seeing you again talking about another fear. Have an amazing day today. Bye.